Welcome to a special podcast episode brought to you by the McMullen Museum of Art at Boston College. My name is Michaela Brandt, class of 2023, and a McMullen student ambassador. Today's episode features an interview with graduate students Rachel Spire-Bizonson and Alexander De La Serra in the History Department, and Troy Woolsey in the English Department. Each of these students completed an internship with the McMullen in either summer 2021 or 2022 to prepare the museum for the fall 2022 exhibition titled American Alternative Comics 1980 to 2000, Raw, Weirdo, and Beyond. This conversation was hosted by Student Ambassador Megan Streeter as the three PhD candidates discussed their internship experiences and the exhibition.
All right, so hi, you guys. My name is Megan Streeter. I'm a junior at BC studying English and Art History with a concentration in Museum Studies, and I'm a student ambassador for the McMullen Museum. I'm sitting down right now with Rachel, Alexander, and Troy, three of our wonderful grad students who helped out in the construction of our current focus exhibition, which is called American Alternative Comics 1980 to 2000, covering Raw, Weirdo, and Beyond. We are super excited to sit down and talk with them today. We've got some great questions, but we'd love to start with an introduction. So Rachel, if you want to kick us off.
Sure. Hi. So I'm Rachel. I'm a second year history PhD student here at BC. My research focus is primarily set in post-war Germany, post-1945. I tend to focus my studies as a cultural historian. Lately, I've been doing a lot of work looking at post-war German cinema, as well as sort of dipping my toe into a little bit of literary studies as well in the process. That's me.
All right. How about you, Alexander?
Hi, yes. My name is Alexander De La Serra, and I'm a PhD candidate, ABD, in the Boston College History Department. I'm primarily a historian of late ancient and early medieval Europe, focusing especially on lived religion in the North Sea milieu. My dissertation, which is very, very tentatively entitled Real and Imagined Undergrounds, A History of Caves in Britain, circa 300 to 1000 CE, deploys archaeological and literary sources alongside eco-critical theory to explore cave use and underground perceptions in both Roman and early medieval Britain. I also have a side interest in museum studies and the history of the museum, which was very appropriate given the internship two summers ago.
All right, and Troy.
Hi, I am Troy. I am a second year PhD student in the English department. My research interests are primarily working with American literature between the antebellum period to like postmodern period, specifically around like the gay liberation movement I focus on a lot. And as a result too, I have sort of side interests in theories of embodiment, expressions of intimacy and sexuality, especially in queer culture. So lately I'm actually working on a side project right now where I'm collecting first edition out of print queer literature from the 20th century and just looking at the lives of gay people, queer people in America throughout that time period and the kind of socio-political context that they lived in and how that informed the way their sexuality is expressed.
All right. Thank you guys all for that wonderful introduction. And then as a last icebreaker question, and maybe the most important for our comic enthused listeners, do you guys mind letting us know who your favorite comic book or comic book character or comic book itself is?
Growing up, I always really enjoyed sort of stealing my brother's Calvin and Hobbes books. We had several like bound copies. So that was sort of my go-to favorite growing up, as well as I guess like various ones that you saw in the newspaper and the like Sunday edition. But Calvin and Hobbes was always my favorite.
Yeah, similar to Rachel, I always loved the Sunday funnies, you know, when the newspaper came and they were all in color, all the strips. I wonder how common that is anymore to read the Sunday funnies. I haven't in years. But as far as comic books go, I got to say, working on this exhibition back in 2021 was a pretty significant, like, personal introduction into the world of comics. Not a genre or medium I had much experience with prior, so it was a privilege to not only learn how to work in a museum just on the practical level, but to engage with a new subject material and subject matter that was unfamiliar generally to me. I do have to say, as far as mainstream comics go, I really, this might be a horrible answer given the audience, but I always loved the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies when I was younger, especially Spider-Man 2, the one with the, Alfred Molina as the Dr. Octavius sort of octopus guy with the arms. That was always probably my, if I had to choose a favorite, it would be those movies.
And I, like Rachel, was a huge Calvin and Hobbes fan. I had pretty much all of the books. I would go to the little Scholastic book fair, sixth grade, and every time they would have a new one, I would be like, great, I'm getting that one. I also, though, really loved The Simpsons when I was younger, which we do have a small thing of The Simpsons on exhibit at the McMullen. And I had, I don't know, like 8 volumes of their DVDs or something. So I was a pretty big Simpsons fan. So other than that, though, I think like Alexander, I was sort of unfamiliar with the comics world. So this definitely allowed me to get more introduced to that world.
All right, great answers all around. In case you're wondering, my favorite will always be Watchmen, but still good answers. So our first question on your kind of experience with the exhibition is, how did you become involved, both with the McMullen Museum and with the Alternative Comics exhibition?
So I applied for a position for the summer at the McMullen through an ILA internship. Before coming to BC, I worked for 2 years at a small historical society, which had their own museum and archive. So I'd worked in museums before. I know that that's where I want to go after I finish my PhD. So I knew I wanted to work in museums, and the McMullen I'd been to before on campus, their Irish photography exhibit from last year was excellent. And so when I saw that they were looking for people for the summer, I jumped at the opportunity. And specifically for this exhibit, I just was looking for more experience working in curation and exhibit design and that kind of a thing. And happily, the kind folks at the ILA took me on, and it was really, really fun. So glad I got to do it.
Yeah, I'd say museums have always been such a huge part of my life, childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, growing up. It's always the first thing I do when I go to a new city or a new town is, scope out the art museums, the history museums. So I've always had this interest in the institution as an object of not only public history and a very important thing to understand, but also just as something that I personally enjoy engaging with. As part of my PhD program in medieval history, I've been lucky enough to study extensively with the McMullen's director, Professor Nancy Netzer. And one of the classes that I took with her in my coursework years was her History of the Museum seminar, which was really sort of fundamental in demonstrating to me like how my sort of academic historical interests, medieval material culture, could really be fused with more contemporary museum studies and museum work. So when I saw that, and when I was doing this, it was the inaugural year of the ILA's internship program, I knew that the McMullen one was the only one for me on the list. And so I applied. I didn't hesitate to apply. I was very lucky, as everyone here was, to receive generous summer funding from the Institute for the Liberal Arts. And that was sort of how I became involved with the project back in 2021.
I actually just kind of stumbled into it, to be honest. I was looking at the ILA PhD internships, and originally I was actually interested in the archival internship at the Burns, but I decided very last minute that that wasn't necessarily in line with my research interests at the time, and I instead ended up applying for the McMullen one, especially because within my research, I've been starting to explore visual media a lot more. And so I was particularly interested in just learning more about museum studies and what goes behind forming an exhibition, especially since I've written about exhibitions at the MFA before. And so I wanted to get more of a behind the scenes look at that process to have a better understanding of it if I do choose to pursue that further. And also just, there are conversations as PhDs constantly in the humanities about the state of the job market. And so it's kind of just like Well, what would I be interested in doing as an alt academic career? And for me, the McMullen, I thought about it longer and harder, and I was like, yeah, that's the one I want to apply for, and was lucky enough to get it.
That is awesome. Well, the McMullen is super happy to have all you guys working with us. So Alexander and Rachel, you guys are both historians, and Troy, you're in English. I'm wondering how your area of study impacted the way you approached working on this exhibition.
I mean, for me, I mean, Troy was sort of touching on this, like starting to use like visual media within my own research. I've been doing the same, starting research in German cinema and film. So I definitely found it really interesting to see how, from a cultural standpoint, these pieces of art were comments on the political environment around them, the actual like environmental environment, the natural environment around them, the landscape. Whenever I have gone to art museums in the past, my favorite part of seeing a work on display has always been the context given with them, like that little panel beside them, giving, you know, maybe a biography about the artist of, you know, their beliefs and how that translates into this work on display, or the time period. Of course, as an historian, I'm always thinking about contextualizing pieces like that. So for me, looking through this sort of niche visual medium that's not usually on display in art museums was really exciting for me as sort of a, I don't know, often overlooked medium, and seeing what can I tease out of this that can tell me about, you know, the American underground scene in the 80s and 90s, which I, you know, was not especially familiar with prior to the summer.
I would say that material culture is a hugely important part of my own research program into the early Middle Ages, especially given the sort of paucity of traditional textual evidence related to my subject, my period of study, what I'm studying, my scholarly perspective. And so much time of my academic life is spent with objects and sort of the material things, the stuff that makes up life in the period I'm looking at. I would say as a McMullen exhibition intern, even though the subject of the exhibition is about as far removed thematically, temporally, and materially as you can get from my dissertation work, it was the fact that I was able to interact with these actual historical objects in place in that museological public history, public-facing kind of context to offer sort of extraordinary new insight into the lives of these objects was just an absolute privilege and pleasure. As I said, so much of my time is spent reading about medieval material objects, and I don't often have a chance to actually get to sort of hold them and interact with them and engage with them. When I look at them in other museums, I'm often at the behest of the existing sort of provenance information, the existing wall text, the existing wall labels that are present in those places. So again, like Rachel, to be able to touch on these sort of very particular objects from a very particular time and place, I won't soon forget how influential that experience has been in sort of making these objects feel alive in their own rights. The fact that many of these objects, these comics, were created by people, you know, who are still producing similar works to this very day, again, a big difference with, you know, my medieval stuff, it really offered new perspectives into how one can present history in a public-facing context. I would say that, above all else, is how I would walk away from this experience, is understanding just a bit better how to talk about history, not only in my very specific, often esoteric subfield, but in the broader context of a museum and a museum exhibition.
I would say for me, as an English major, I definitely felt, quite honestly, out of my depth in the beginning, like definitely had like imposter syndrome, because it was kind of like, I wasn't sure how to apply my English skills to the internship. Rachel had to like calm me down a couple times just to be like, no, like you were asked to come here for a reason, like you're good. As time went on though, I think there were two things that I felt like related to my English major. One is that like, yes, I study literature, but you know, many people in the English department are still very much interested in cultural studies and the sociopolitical context that happen with literature. And so those are obviously areas of study that are relevant to visual media. And being able to understand how that research and those studies could be applied to visual media is just sort of another way for me to get involved and to learn more about that process, especially like I was mentioning earlier, as someone who would like to include more visual media in my studies. And also just like in terms of skills, as an English major, like my bread and butter is close reading. I know how to close read a piece of text. And the same is true for visual media as well. And I think getting to read, especially Rachel and I worked on the catalog for the exhibit. And so we were combing through it and indexing it. So we read pretty much all of them, or at least skimmed a lot of them. And to see how these researchers were analyzing the comics and the other pieces on display was just really helpful in terms of like, oh, this is how you close read a material object, visual media in general, right? And, you know, like I said, close reading is something I 100% know how to do. So to be able to sort of work that muscle a little bit harder and sort of broaden the range of that skill into visual media was something that definitely related to the fact that I was an English major.
Thank you guys for all that wonderful information. As a double major in English and art history, I definitely also feel strongly that there's a lot of overlap between close reading and close visual analysis skills. So it's really interesting to hear your insight on how those can kind of converge when you're doing research, working on an exhibition, creating a catalog. Really interesting stuff. So one of the main goals of this Art in Focus podcast, particularly in interviews like these, is to help demystify what happens behind the scenes at museums. Therefore, I'm wondering, what did your day-to-day look like? And what were some of the specifics of the internship?
So when Troy and I were coming in, our days were sort of split between working on this specific exhibit, comics, and with John, and with Diana, who was working on the photography exhibit of Chelsea, works by photojournalist Arnie Jarmack. But I think our day-to-day was a lot of the time just spent in that conference room, creating the index for the catalog for the comics exhibit, as well as taking trips down into the sub-basement with Diana and like handling works or learning how to handle works, moving things around by the end of the summer. And once it was time to start, you know, unpacking these pieces and starting to put them up on the walls, it was a very exciting day when the painters came and the gallery suddenly was very colorful. A large part of our time was also spent this like hands-on version, just chatting with John and Diana and seeing what can we do, how can we help. You know, the two of them worked tirelessly on both of their exhibits, along with their co-curators, and we're sort of there to help make the sheen go well.
Yeah, and just to like piggyback off of Rachel, since we work together, yeah, it was mostly like Rachel mentioned, just split between, you know, either helping Diana with the more physical labored stuff, and then John with the more computer technologically oriented stuff of like creating the catalog, all that kind of stuff. And of course, Diana's really fun too, just like taking us down to the sub-basement. She sometimes have us do these like little field trips to like the Burns. We also went to the law campus one time to like help with packing up artwork. So just like these like almost like little errands kind of the museum. I don't know if it's right to call them errands per se, but just like these fun little excursions that were also just really fun and meaningful, I think, to Rachel and I, because then we weren't just sitting in a conference room constantly. You know, we got to talk to John and learn about the catalog and stuff like that. And we got to go out with Diana and do these more hands-on oriented stuff. So I would say we had a very like diverse range of experience happening at the museum.
It was very well-rounded. Doing the little side trips to like the law campus, for instance, like seeing the summer is not just spent preparing these incoming installations. The reason we're going to the law campus was to pick up some art pieces that were on loan to the law school, and they had a new dean coming in and they wanted to change out what art was coming in. So even as the exhibit itself is in the process of being put together and planned and executed, the institution itself keeps running and there's other things to do. So yeah, kind of saw it all.
It's extraordinary to hear from Rachel and Troy, because their summer was the summer right before the exhibition sort of came out and was public. And my summer was the previous summer, so it was really at the beginning stages of the sort of logistics and planning that went into this exhibition. So I guess I would say my work had less to do with the sort of physical objects themselves, less to do with the like actual exhibition placement, and was more along the lines of the planning and discussion phase. We did have a few objects already there, and it was really nice, as I said earlier, to be able to learn how to handle delicate, rare, often one-of-a-kind objects. And one of my tasks over the summer was to create digital reproductions, especially of some of these really early raw issues that Françoise Amouli had sent us. So really learning how to be careful and faithful to the original object while still making it digitally accessible was an important part of the work. Another part of my work was sort of doing research, and this is another way in which I was able to put my skills as an historian to use, evaluating potential loan objects, researching and contacting potential lenders. And this could be anyone from just private individuals who had posted their comic collection online to major institutions, libraries, museums around the world. And another sort of thing I was honored and privileged to be able to be a part of was like these conversations with John McCoy, Nancy Netzer, Françoise Amouli, sort of deciding which objects were relevant to the exhibition at hand, which ones would fit the narrative of what the story we were trying to tell. So that was just a small taste of what the day-to-day looked like. Of course, there was also a number of organizational tasks that needed doing, and this is just it's the real reality of sort of any career, right? Is the ability to be organized in a way that befits the job and the institution at hand. And so, you know, that's something I think I'm half decent at. So like putting together records so that, you know, objects were in the right place at the right time, be that on the Excel spreadsheet or actually in the mail from the lenders, dealing with the appropriate number of emails, both internal at the McMullen as well as with external institutions, individuals, and sources, and just overall the general research program of putting together a collection of objects. And then, as I said at the beginning, it's really cool to hear about Rachel and Troy's experience, seeing how a year after my internship, how the work we did that year led into the work that they did in their summer, and then to see how all our collective work together came together in this extraordinary exhibition, which is currently on display at the museum.
Awesome. So a lot goes into curating exhibitions at museums, and unfortunately or serendipitously, things don't always go as planned. So can you share with us any of the crazy? What was the most exciting or surprising thing that you learned or encountered during your time working on the comics exhibition?
That's hard. This isn't necessarily it went wrong at all. There's a work on display that's not a comic itself. Her name is Maxine. She's a taxidermy alien-looking creature by Christine Critter. And it's an old piece. I don't remember the year that Critter made it. Someone should go visit the museum and see the display plaque for themselves. But previously there was a little, like voice box inside it that, she used to laugh, and I so desperately wish that she could still laugh, and that, you know, that is not on the McMullen. It's just, she's old and she didn't laugh when she came here. But I would have loved to experience Maxine's laugh. I imagine it sort of as a cackle, but that's not necessarily something that went wrong. It's just, I would have loved to hear dear Maxine's laugh.
Maxine also had Rachel's exact hair color.
That is true.
So we joked that a little bit of Rachel was in Maxine. I wouldn't call it crazy, but like, I mean, if you go to the exhibition, there's just an incredible amount of art and comics related material to look at. It's like breathtaking, really, to see how much they were able to get on loan for the exhibition. But as a result, too, like, to watch Diana have to, like, figure out how things were going to be arranged, how things were going to be grouped together, was a really a little bit of a chaotic process for her. Because, of course, you know, Rachel and I are working on the exhibition as it's about to open. And so those last, like, month or two, it's a little chaotic. There's a lot to work with and a lot to get done before the museum opens. And so to see especially Diana have to work quickly about, okay, where is this going to go? Sometimes the frames wouldn't look right, and so she would have to do different framings. And then sometimes it seemed like the work that they requested, like, wasn't the one that showed up, or they had extra pieces. So just kind of the, like, chaos of just trying to have everything framed, everything hung up correctly. The walls were painted.
The walls were in the right location of, like, where you... She wanted the wall, like, because the gallery space can transform a lot. And so think about the physical space itself as well, just things moving around.
Yeah, so that was probably the most sort of chaotic process, is just watching the physical sort of manifestation of the exhibit come into being.
It's amazing to hear from Rachel and Troy here today about the material reality of something like, you know, the walls and the lighting and the color, because these were the conversations we were having in our summer, and it was all sort of up in the intellectual realm, the conversation realm, and to see how those conversations transitioned into being sort of the material reality is just endlessly fascinating, and it works so well. The exhibition is magnificent.
Awesome. I'm also a huge fan of Maxine. She just kind of grabs your attention when you walk in the exhibition.
Absolutely.
And Troy, to your point about the chaos of framing, I work with Diana as the co-chair of our collections management department, and we spent a whole day in the sub-basement just trying to organize the packaging that the pieces were in before they were taken out to be framed. So the chaos is very much ongoing. In case you were wondering.
There was so much material for that. Also, Maxine was interesting too, because, well, of course, like, the minute we unboxed her, Rachel and I were, like, taking photos with her. But also, like, we were trying to figure out what to put her on too. And so the glass case that she's in now, and we were like, okay, is this platform high enough? Is this platform wide enough? And we, like, went down to the basement. And I think actually Diana didn't even know if we had, and then we found it, and it was like, oh, this is going to be perfect for Maxine. So that was, like, a little also sort of behind the scenes moment in regards to Maxine, who we love.
Well, I'm glad she has her own spot now. She deserves it. So moving on to concluding remarks, because we are running out of time, sadly. Do you guys have any last thoughts to share with our listeners on the exhibition and interning at the McMullen in general? Such as, besides Maxine, what your favorite pieces in the exhibition are?
I mean, I will say, actually, Maxine probably is my favorite in the exhibition. She's just an icon, a legend. I do, though, really like the works we have on display by Hoshé Anderson, though, as well, which are in the back gallery of the And Beyond section. I really love those pieces. But, I mean, concluding remarks about the McMullen, just, this is an incredible museum that BC students have on their campus and should absolutely be taking advantage of. Faculty should bring their students. I'm such a fan and, you know, McMullen's biggest cheerleader, and I want everyone to come visit because it's just such a special place with wonderful faculty and staff that are associated with the institution, and I can't say enough good things about the McMullen, and everyone should come visit.
It's also just really, like, I don't know, Rachel and I are currently taking a class with Professor Netzer, and we'll have break, and it's just, like, really relaxing to, like, go in there and just stroll through the museum. Like, it's just a really peaceful kind of mindful experience as well. So, like, not only is the museum and the staff, are they all great, but it's also just, like, a nice chance to just, like, unwind from class and from the stress of it. And it's really close by. It's, you know, right across from main campus. So it's a great exhibition, but it's also just, like, a nice chance to, like, do something relaxing for yourself. I would say one of my favorite pieces, it's not necessarily a lighthearted piece. It's called Kaposi's Sarcoma by Sue Coe. It was produced in 1994, and it's part of a larger series of Coe's work called The AIDS Suite, which chronicled, with permission from the patients, her time in an AIDS ward in Texas between, like, 1993 to 94. And especially over the summer, there was some, like, rises of monkeypox, as I'm sure people were hearing about, which was primarily affecting the gay community. So to see sort of the like parallels that were happening in terms of disease and the way it was being portrayed, and to have this really like intimate piece of artwork that Sue Coe had produced. And, you know, as I said earlier, like queer studies is just something I'm really interested in. That was a piece that I was really gravitated towards, and the sort of humanity and care that went into producing that really, I think, came through in the art.
As far as concluding remarks, I would just wish to sort of express my gratitude to the Institute for the Liberal Arts and their director, Professor Mary Crane, for funding all our experiences very generously in these summers, as well as McMullen director Nancy Netzer and the exhibit co-curator John McCoy for sort of including us in this project and really demonstrating how sort of fulfilling scholarly and just sort of extraordinary museum work is as a way to spend the days. Of all the extraordinary artists featured in the McMullen exhibition, I'd probably highlight Chris Ware's work as just sort of an aesthetic favorite of mine. His sort of diagrammatic, schematic, architectural approach to the page really stood out to me. You know, it's not something I was familiar with before. In fact, this past summer, in August of 2022, I was in Paris for research, and I was wandering around with a friend one day, and we decided to pop into the Centre Pompidou, which houses the Musée National d'Art Moderne in its upper levels, and sort of on the way up those very famous exterior escalators, I saw a tiny little sign that was highlighting a special exhibition that was going on at the Bibliothèque Publique, which is on one of the lower floors. And it was featuring Chris Ware's work this summer. And it was a really nice sort of small library temporary exhibition. But I think above all else, beyond solidifying my appreciation for that particular artist's aesthetic program, that exhibition, I think, also proves that the McMullen is in very, very good company with its thematic choices for what we're putting out into the world of our temporary exhibitions here in Boston College. And I would second and third what's been said. You know, all BC students should find their way over to this museum and spend time looking at the walls, looking at the art, seeing what's going on, and really, really appreciating this extraordinary institution that exists and will continue to exist on our campus.
Amazing. Well, thank you guys all so much for your wonderful insight on the time you spent at the McMullen. I think that's a wonderful closing note. I also hope as many of our listeners as possible come out and check out the show to see your wonderful contributions and all the amazing artwork that we have on the wall right now.
That concludes this episode. While this exhibition is no longer on view at the museum, you can still see it using our virtual walkthrough online. To access the virtual walkthrough, visit bc.edu/artmuseum/exhibitions. Thank you for listening, and be sure to visit The Terrace, the McMullen student publication, to find more episodes like this, as well as our main podcast series, Art in Focus. This episode was produced by Rachel Brody, the McMullen graduate assistant and a doctoral candidate in the history department. It was mixed and edited by Michaela Brandt. Thanks to Rachel Chamberlain, the McMullen Manager of Education, for her guidance and support. Finally, thank you to our podcast team and student ambassador interviewer Megan Streeter. Special thanks to Rachel Spire-Bizanson, Alexander Della Sera, and Troy Woolsey for their time.